Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, whose birth centenary we are celebrating. It was 100 years ago that he was born in 1916 on May 8th. And May 8, 2016 will be the 100 years. And as a part of the centenary celebrations, we are doing a lot of activities. But Gurudev, when he taught Gita, he called it as a Gyan Yagna. Gita Gyan Yagna. I remember as a teenager going to his classes in Chowpatty Shivaji Park in Mumbai, and there were thousands of people, and he called it as Gyan Yagna. Yagna means offering into the fire. So his teachings were an offering of ignorance into the fire of knowledge, because we all are ignorant about who we are, what is our nature, who is God, what is my relationship with God, and the Guru is the one who enlightens us to this subject. And the Gita is a marvelous text which takes us from where we are to the highest. Not only it gives us the highest knowledge, but also teaches us how to live in this world, how to deal with people, how to deal with situations, how should I work, how should I interact with with my clients, how should I interact with my family. So it's a very, very practical text, and that's why Gurudev, most of his life he spent in teaching this. Of course, he covered the Upanishads and Brahma Sutras and all, but the Gita was his favorite. So in the 17th chapter, which we are doing right now, Sri Krishna is telling us about Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. There are three kinds of Shraddha, three kinds of faith. And we have studied in the earlier weeks, they are Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic. Sattvic is the pure, the one with knowledge, the right understanding. Rajasic is the passionate, the active, the greedy, the dynamic, but without control, without honesty at times. And then Tamasic is the lowest one, which is laziness and so on. And we have studied in the past few weeks how Sattvic people worship the gods and the higher powers. Rajasic people worship the powerful people on earth, the politicians, the business people. And Tamasic people worship the ghosts and goblins and the lower powers. And then Sri Krishna also told us that doing too much tapas, little bit of self-control, little bit of living a life of control is good. But when you are torturing your body for tapas, then that is not good, because Krishna says, you not only torture yourself, but you torture me, because I am in each and every one of you as life, as consciousness. And then last week, just before the holidays, we talked about the three kinds of food. The Sattvic food, the food which is fresh, pure, clean, lightly cooked. Then the Rajasic food, which is very spicy, hot, a lot of energy in that food, but it then makes your mind stimulated. And then the tamasic food is the food which is old, which is rotten, which is months old. Anything that is kept for a long period of time, fermented and all, comes in tamasic food. So as we said, this is Gita Gyan Yagna, the offering into the fire of knowledge. So here now Krishna will tell us in today's three verses, the three kinds of yagnas. Yagna has two meanings. The traditional meaning of yagna in the Vedic times was, or even now is, when the priest, has a havan kund, he lights the fire, and then in that fire, he offers different, offerings, maybe some nuts or some wood or some the yagna samagri. And then while he's doing that, he's chanting mantras. So the idea is that this fire is taking our prayers to the higher gods. And so if there is anything you wish, you can arrange a yagna for that, or even just for purification of the town, or for purification of the mind. People used to do yagnas in the olden days. But then Sri Krishna in the Gita gives a different meaning to the word yagna. Yagna, he says, is not only offering in the fire, but any dedicated activity where people get together and work can be called a yagna. So a dedicated offering where people get together, sink their individual differences and work for the betterment of all. So yajna is a dedicated activity. But Sri Krishna says even that can activities that we do in our daily life, it can be my job, with my family, with my business, even that can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. So let us see the three kinds of yajnas or activities: sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. The first one is sattvic, and that's verse number 11, chapter 17.
Aphalakangshibhiryajnyah
vidhidrishto
ya ijyate yashtavyameveti manah samadhayas sattvikah.
So what is sattvic yajna? Shri Krishna says, aphala kangshi. Kangshi means desire. Phala means fruit. Aphala kangshi means not desiring a fruit. Not desiring a particular fruit of action. And vidhi drishto. And keeping in mind what is the scripture say. What the scripture say. What this the wise people say, vidhi drishto, keeping that in vision, ya ijyate, one who performs these yajnas. And why does he perform them? Yashtavyam eva iti, it should be done, it needs to be done, it must be done. And mana samadhaya, and the mind established in the higher, sa sattvikah. So let us see. Here is written, outlined some of these points in the sattvic, and then rajasic and tamasic are over here. So the first point is, it should be done without fruit, without a particular desire. So you say, how can I work without desire? You know, how can I work without having the fruit? Even the farmer who is planting an orchard, he plants it for fruits, you know, that maybe he's planting an orchard of mangoes. So he wants mangoes to come out, or if he's planting wheat, or I go to work in the morning, I go with the idea that I must get paid at the end of the day, or if I'm manufacturing a product, it should be sold. So what do we mean by without fruit? How can I work without fruit? So what Gurudev says and what Krishna says is that fruit is something that comes at the end. Right? When I'm planting the tree, at that time I'm not getting the mangoes. I may get the mangoes after 10 years. When I manufacture a product and I market it, I'm not getting the profit right now. I may get after 6 months, after a year, once the product becomes popular, it gets sold, and then, you know, the money comes from the wholesaler. So it takes time. Or a student studying for the exam or taking a test. He is taking the test so that he should get a good grade, so then he can get admission maybe to a medical or a law or engineering, to a good college. So everybody, when they are doing an activity, they are doing with the goal in mind. So how can I do an activity without fruit? So the example can be taken of the student. Now there are two students who are taking the test at the same time, and they are both sitting in the classroom. Now one student, while he's taking the test, is thinking, if I pass, if I do good, you know, I will get an A grade, and then I will get into medical school, and then my parents will be proud of me, and then I will be, you know, the best in the class. I may be even made valedictorian, but if I don't do well, I don't know what will happen. I won't be admitted to a good college, and my grades won't be good, my parents will be disappointed, and I'll be... So while he's taking the test, he's thinking about success. What happens if I succeed? What happens if I fail? Another student is taking the test and saying, I'm taking the test at this moment, and that is my job. I have to do my best. What the result will be, whether I will pass, whether I'll fail, whether I'll succeed, that's not in my hand. At this moment, I do my best, and then let the result take care of itself. Now, who will perform better? whose performance will be better? Obviously, the second one, because his attention is on the job at hand, do my best. And then the result will come later. But while I am working, if I am thinking about the fruit, then my performance is not good. So that's what he means, that when you are doing the action, whether you are working in a factory or whether you are at home, whether you are in a business or a job or wherever you are, even as a farmer, you do your best. You plow the land, you put the best seeds, you put the fertilizer. The result is not in your hand. You don't know whether the rain will come or not. If there is a drought, you may not get anything. Or, you know, you may get a big crop, but then there may be so much crop that the value goes down. Everybody's. So the job that I should do my best at this moment. While I am working, I do my best. And then if I do a good job, the law of karma says that the result will automatically be good, sooner or later. And if it is not good, it was not meant to be, it was not in my destiny, maybe I should do better. So that's what they mean, is that this person does without looking for the fruit. Fruit also means selfish desire. His idea at the time of work is not what will I get out of it, but is it something that will benefit society? So whether he's in a business or a job or a farmer or whatever he's doing his best and saying that through my labor may society benefit. He, of course, will benefit. Obviously, if he does a good job, he produces a good product, he will benefit. But his goal is not I or my. His goal is the benefit of society. And why does he do it? It needs to be done. Yashtavyam iti. Not doing it will hurt me. So his whatever is to be done, full stop. It is something that I must do. It is good, and it is good for me. It is good for society. That's why they call Shreya or Preya. Preya is what I do because I enjoy, I like it. Shreya is what I do that is good for me and good for society. And it is needs to be done. And there is no doubts about it. And then his work is not done for name or fame. It's not done for, by doing this, you know, I'll become very famous, people will respect me, people will look up to me. No, it is the right thing to do. Again, he has no interest in my personal glory, no interest in name or fame. But what is good, what is necessary, afala kangshi, and what is according to the scriptures. What the scriptures say, what is the wise people say, what is the right thing to be done, what Ramchandraji did, you know, that I should follow, what Yudhishthir did, what Krishna did. So these, what Jesus did, what Buddha did. So he looks at these wise people, the saints and prophets, and how they worked in the world and what they wrote in the scriptures, he blindly follows. Now the scriptures talk about four kind of activities: Kamya, Nishiddha, Nitya and Naimitya. So Kamya Karma are selfish activities where I do activity for me and mine, I, and that alone is my goal or purpose in life. What can I get out of it? How I can become rich? How I can become more successful? So Kamya Karmas are not to be done, because activity should not only be done for selfish. Nishiddha karma is the forbidden activities, and that everybody knows. You know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not cheat, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not hurt thy neighbor. All those, you know, those activities are called Nishiddha, and they are there in all the scriptures. And we all know that. We even teach our children, you know, you should not lie, you should not hurt others. What are the activities that we should do? We should not do Kamya or Nishiddha. We should do Nitya and Naimitya. Nitya is the, Nitya means the daily activities. So there are certain activities I have to do every day. I have to get up in the morning, take a shower, and then have my breakfast, and then go to work, and then do my job, and then come home, and then maybe spend time with my children. So these are my daily activities that we should do. And depending on my occupation, a housewife may have different activities, a businessman, a farmer, and so on. So the daily activities I must do and Naimitya are special activities. That means activities done on special occasions, like somebody, a child is born in somebody's house. So I go and, you know, see the baby, take a gift, offer my congratulations. Or unfortunately, somebody passed away, somebody's parents or father or mother passed away, then I go to their house and express my sympathy or attend the funeral. So these are called special activities. Special activities are like at Christmas. You know, Christmas has a special occasion. So we buy gifts for the children and, you know, we celebrate, or Diwali in India. It's a special activity. It's a big occasion where a lot of, you know, gifts are exchanged and, you know, children are. So these Nitya and Naimitya are called Niyatam, are called obligatory duties. The first two are forbidden, the next two are obligatory duties. And these obligatory duties must be done. I must do my duty. I must have do my duty towards my family, my parents, towards society, towards you know, the betterment of my company. So these activities are called obligatory duties. In Sri Krishna, in the third chapter, says, Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayo ya karmanaha sharir yatra pichate na prasiddhyet akarmanaha. So he says, Niyatam kuru karma tvam. He says, these obligatory duties you must do. And working is better than not working. Obviously. You know, a person who works hard all day, as opposed to a person who sits and does nothing and expects society to take care of him and, you know, waits for his welfare check. Obviously, the first person is better than the second person. And Sri Krishna says, even sharir yatra pichate, even to maintain your body, you need to act. Actions everybody has to do. We all have to act. Even a person may be a multi-millionaire and have servants and have gardeners and everybody. But still, when he wakes up, the servant may bring tea and breakfast at his bedside, but he still has to get up and drink it. He still has to go and brush his teeth and take a shower. He may not need to go to work, but even to maintain his body, certain amount. So what Krishna is saying, that these obligatory duties should be done without looking for the fruit. Do it without any desire for name or fame. Do it because it is to be done. Yashtavyam iti. And then he says that any activity you do can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Like a person does puja, does a lot of prayers. You know, every day he goes and offers prayers to the Lord. But, and he may not see the result. You know, you don't do puja for a particular result. You do it because for purification of the mind. When I sit in front of the Lord, I see the form, I see the qualities, and my mind becomes still. And then I chant the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, or Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, or whatever I do, do some puja, some prayers. It quietens the mind. It purifies the mind. It makes the mind sattvic. And with such a mind, you can do a much better job. But even prayers can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. And it is true. Think about it. Somebody is praying just for the praying. Okay, just, oh Lord, just stay in my heart all day and be with me as I work. That's all he's asking for. But another person says, you know, Lord, you know what? I have only 1 million in the bank. And what is a million these days? Nothing. A million doesn't buy anything. Lord, you know my business. You know, I'm trying to open a second branch. Now, please make sure. So that is a rajasic prayer. You know, where he's not asking. I mean, it's okay. So suppose a child is sick or something. You ask the Lord, that is good. It purifies you. But if you only go to the temple when you want something, or you only go to the Lord as a beggar, okay, you have a list. Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. And then I get 9, and then the 10th one I don't get. And I say, Lord, what is that? I didn't get this. We forget that all the good things he has given us, but we focus on what we have not got. So that is called rajasic. And then tamasic prayer is a prayer which is done to hurt somebody. You know, there are some mantras and there are some people who will offer certain prayers to the lower powers, you know, and it's there in all the faiths, you know, where they poke needles and. So that is tamasic. So those kind of prayers are obviously should not be done. Prayer should be done with the idea that for my purification of mind. Talking about prayer, it's an interesting story. So this man was going for a job interview, very important position, and he had to, you know, he was in Manhattan and it was going to be a big promotion and a great job. And he couldn't find parking. He was circling and circling. Even the paid parking was full nearby. There was no spot available. He was just circling and couldn't find it. And he said, you know, I have only 10 minutes left, only 5 minutes left. And if I don't reach on time, obviously I won't get the job. And so he starts praying, oh Lord, if I get this job, I'll stop drinking and I'll go to church every Sunday. And then again, after 1 or 2 minutes, he said, oh Lord, if I find this parking, I promise I'll give up drinking. I'll go to church every Sunday. Again, after 2 minutes, Lord, help me find parking. If I find parking, I promise you I'll give up drinking and I'll go to church every Sunday. Suddenly, as he was driving in front of the building, miraculously a parking opened right in front of the building where his interview was. Somebody pulled out and he pulled in. He said, oh Lord, never mind, I found it. I found the parking. You don't need to do anything. So that is called, you know, rajasic prayer, where, you know, I'm doing it only for my benefit. And activities that are done with a sattvic motive, with the pure motive in mind, they make the mind very calm. Because when I'm doing activities for a particular goal in mind, I have to get this, I have to. And then if I don't get it, then I become disappointed. You know, I'm so sad, I didn't get what I wanted, and, you know, God didn't have. But if my goal is to do my best, I did my best, Bhagwan, and then whatever the result comes is in your hands. Then whatever the result you get it as a prasad buddhi, as the Lord's grace. And if it was in my destiny, I got it. If it was not, it does not mean that I don't try my best. I'm not saying that, you know, just leave everything to God and you sit home. That's not, Sri Krishna says, sharir yatra pichatena prasiddheta karmana. You cannot sit home and do nothing. You go out, you work as hard as you can. Swami Chinmayananda is a great example. Swami Ishwarananda ji, who comes here. We see all these Swamis of Chinmaya Mission, how hard they work. Morning to night, they are working for the benefit of all of us. So do your best and then leave the rest. And so then what happens is your mind is calm. Then you are not worried about the result. You say, I did my best, and whatever result comes, God, is your prasad. You accept it cheerfully. So such a person, then his mind is not disturbed. He's not agitated. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't focus on the result. He does his best and then he sleeps happily at night. And any profession that we practice, you can be a sattvic, rajasic, or a tamasic, like, you know, medicine, being a doctor. A true physician will do what is good for his patient. He does not have any care about whether how much I will get, or what my profit will be, or how much my fees will be. He does the best for each patient who comes. He sees that the Lord is in front of me. And whatever he needs, he does. He does not do unnecessary testing or unnecessary prescribing or unnecessary surgeries. Because those are the things that make your profession lower. If I do what is right, obviously I'll do well. You know, more patients will come. I'll be more successful because they'll say, you know, this is a good doctor. He does the right thing. But if I do things with the profit motive, you know, how much maximum I can make, how much I can make from this patient, how can I make, and it can be any profession. It can be a lawyer can be doing the same thing, or a businessman, or a shopkeeper, or a pharmacist, or whatever profession I am in. I could be a sattvic individual where I do my best for my client, or I can be rajasic, where I do things with a profit motive. How can I make maximum? How can I cheat my customers? Like that drug maker who raised the price of the pill from $15 to $7,500. Now think about that. That is not only rajasic, it's extremely tamasic, because he's hurting and he actually went to jail for some other reasons. But the point is that these kind of activities, and a tamasic would be where I do, through my carelessness, I hurt my client. a physician not doing a good job and the client getting sick, worse, or a lawyer not doing a good job, not being careful, and the, you know, client losing the case, or a shopkeeper or a pharmacist, you know, giving the wrong medicine out of carelessness, you know. So that is tamasic. So sattvic is I do it for the benefit of the client. Rajasic is I do it just with a profit motive. I don't care about what happens to the patient. And tamasic is where out of my carelessness or laziness, I hurt them. So that's what Krishna says, that the activity should be done without looking for the fruit. Do what is right. Do what I'm supposed to do and do your best. And then while you're working, your attention should be on the job at hand and without worrying about the future. And once you do that, then your activity is sattvic, it is pure, and then I am behind you. Krishna will be behind us if our activities are pure. If not, he says, you're on your own. So this is sattva. Any comments, any questions?
So that is embedded into the child saying, oh, if I want to be this, this,
yes,
this.
Yes.
So how do you...
No, that's a very good question. So goal setting we all do. Even a student studying makes a goal. A farmer has a goal. A businessman has a goal. So a goal we have. But what you need to teach him is that while you are working, you do your best in the present. At that moment, do not think about. So that is the difference. Of course, we must teach them, you know, that you need to be good and do good in studies, then you will get into a good college, and if you get into a good college, then you will get into a good profession. So having a high goal is not bad, but A, the goal should be pure. It should not be only, oh, how much money I can make, but through this profession, how I can serve society. That's what we inculcate in our children. Even in the, you know, in the our pledge, Chinmaya Mission pledge, we say giving more than what we consume, you know. So my goal is to give more to society than I consume. So the profession I choose should not be based only on the monetary value, but on the service, how I can serve the world. And secondly, tell him while you are doing it, you stay in the present, be in the now and do your best. And the result will take care of itself. And the third is that assure the child that we will love you the same regardless of. See, because sometimes we may put such strong expectations that the child feels that my success or failure, my parents will love me less or love me more. So that they should have that assurance. That so these are the three things while you're encouraging them to study and do well. That do your best and then whatever happens, don't worry about it. And even if, you know, if it didn't happen, maybe next time or something, you know. So teach them to that it's okay. You know, sometimes you may have success, sometimes you may have failure, but the ability to remain balanced in success and failure, that is called mind calm and established. Samadhaya, Sri Krishna says, Samadhaya. So remain calm and life will not always be rosy. So prepare them for that. I hope that answers your question.
You are God, I am God. We all want the same thing.
Right, but does he really mean that? You know, when he says our thoughts, he may just think that I'm thinking good thoughts about you. Again, the motive is very important. Mm-hmm. And whether you say I'm praying for you or my thoughts are for you, if your motive is genuine, you know, that I want to pray for this person's benefit, whether you're praying to the Lord within or you're praying to Jesus or Krishna, it doesn't matter. He's one anyway. Advaita says there is only one, and inside, outside, it's all the same. This whole world is nothing but that one consciousness expressing as all of us, as the chair, as the pointer, as this glass. Everything is that Bhagwan, that Lord, that Brahman. So when you understand that, then whether you pray outside or inside, it is the same. Yeah. Antar Bahishta Tat Swarvam Vyapta Narayana Tishtati. He says Narayana is outside and inside me. So wherever I invoke him, it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gita says, okay, you should do your karma and not really look for results.
Right. Yeah. Actually, that's an excellent question. Yeah. It was a very good question. Gita doesn't say that you don't succeed. Krishna never told Arjuna that you should be a lousy warrior. He said, when you go into the battlefield, you be the best you can. Whatever field you are in, you have to do your best. And as you said, if you don't succeed, then you try again, you do some change. And I was going to address that in the Rajasic. What is success? You see, because everything here is based on success, right? The company at the end of the year has a bottom line, profit and loss. And so if we had a profitable year, then the company is successful. They have dividends for all the shareholders. They get, you know, the staff gets raises. But if the company had a loss, then, you know, nobody gets a raise, nobody gets a dividend. So we are not saying that the company should not do well or you should not do your best. And if you don't succeed and had a loss this year, definitely I should change and do something better. But what is our definition of success? The problem is that the modern society, their only definition of success is the bottom line. Did we make a profit or not? But suppose the company is making cigarettes and then has a very successful year. Is it a success? You know, hundreds and thousands of kids got cancer because Philip Morris was marketing these cigarettes. And now they cannot market in the US, or now they are marketing in the Philippines. In the Philippines and Vietnam, we were there last year, everybody smokes. Men, women, everybody is just smoking. It's because of all this. So is that success? Or an alcohol manufacturer, you know, he's selling so much alcohol. Or guns. Nowadays, guns are being sold like anything. Every time Obama makes a statement, the gun manufacturers get happy because they make millions. It's true, because anytime he tries to clamp down, more people go and buy guns. And in fact, stores are running out of ammunition and guns. And the guns they are buying are more and more sophisticated, AK-47 and Uzis and all these, where you can, with one thing, you can kill 20, 30 people. I mean, why would a person want that kind of gun? But they are selling them and you cannot stop it. So is that success? If you are that the gun manufacturer, you know, their profit has gone up 200%, you know, say in the past year. So the success is that, is my product beneficial for society? That is the number one criteria. If what I'm doing, yeah, everybody wants to make a profit. We're not saying that the company should lose money because then they will lay off the people and all. But the goal is that, am I doing what is good? And same as an employee, I should do what is good for my company. Not only what is good for me, but what is good for everybody. So that kind of a business where a person makes a profit, but it is, you know, a legitimate business. That is success. So it is the motive with which you are doing. So definitely we should work hard and, you know, do the best. And if you don't succeed, definitely you should change. And Gita never says that don't work hard or don't, you know, make a profit. But the goal and the motive should is very clear. Okay, we'll end with the closing prayers. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.